never let it be said that we don't find suitably appropriate magical pieces of music to introduce our ace celebrity producers, such as...
Time now for some more Weingarten wonderment on the Midweek Drive.
Have you ever encountered the Purple People Eater, Arthur, in your time? Or did you ever consider as a possible sort of villain for James West, or indeed Wonder Woman, or indeed possibly even Jessica Drew from Murder, She Wrote? Was it Jessica Drew? You know, the Purple People Eater. I just think, you know, you need a good villain, and maybe the Big Bopper, you know, it needs to be celebrated more. Thank you. Welcome to the production, Arthur. How's life?
Thank you.
And the joys
Thank you, Alex.
Of San Diego. Is it all well?
Oh, it's gorgeous here today. The sun is shining, and we've had rain, and everything is terrific. Absolutely terrific.
Well, the sun is, you've got rain and sunshine. It can only be the fall. In the studio, we have a terrific trio of talent as ever. We have Emma Tinson.
Hello.
Hello, Emma. Hello.
We have Eva MacDonald.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Hello, Eva. Hello.
And we have Jessica Ward.
Hi.
Hello, Jessica.
Jessica's still celebrating the fact that in the Rugby World Cup, it's only Southern Hemisphere countries that are actually through to the semi-finals. The first time ever that's actually occurred.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, first time. You've got New Zealand, you've got South Africa, you've got Australia, and you have Argentina. Not a single Northern Hemisphere country, including the United States of America, has actually made it through. Never mind. We'll obviously draw a veil over that and move into cliffhangers. Arthur, were you a cliffhanger fan? Did you like... I mean, obviously, when you're writing for television, you like to have that cliffhanger which gets people to tune in and stay tuned and watch the commercials and then come back to the actual show. But in terms of cliffhangers, did you like cliffhangers? Did you like two-part episodes? Was it a sort of...
Well, I will tell you that for 80% or 90% of the writers who are writing the type of stuff that I did and all of that, you start out with cliffhangers. You have your act endings first, and then you construct a story around it.
Mm. So it's really kind of working backwards, visualization.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you figure out that if the story is to be about a bank robbery, you need four cliffhangers, four acts in those days, and so you construct what would happen. Oh, gee, we're inside the vault. Yeah, but where's the key? Oh, look, it fell outside. Boom.
See, it's always when it fell outside. It's a different line in time.
Right.
And in terms of that format, because I know we've spoken in previous things about the sort of the range and the formula of work within that sort of aspect. I mean, is that a sense that we still work through today? I mean, we've also talked about the format. Did you prefer writing by yourself, or did you prefer writing as part of a collaborative exercise where you'd have a team of three or four or five writers say, this is what we're going to do?
Well, no. In my day, most of the people were singles, unless you were doing a variety in the comedy shows, which I started out doing, for Sid Caesar and Milton Berle and people like that. You had nowhere near the number of people. Today, the crawl for writers is larger than the cast act, the actors. But no, I enjoyed writing by myself for it, because if somebody else came up with a better line and all that, I was angry all day.
And that's one of the reasons why I still treasure and have a special, special part of my office, the authentic Wonder Woman script that Arthur sent me a wee while ago. It's right next to my speaking robot from Lost in Space. Now, you can't get much higher praise than that, you know.
I'm really honoured.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You got an Arthur Weingarten script right next to Danger, Danger, Will Robinson. You know, although you can write for the whole thing. What about the role of producers? Because we hear of certain authors, Harlan Ellison, for instance, bless him. He spent so much time in courts, does Harlan. Often people actually said with Harlan Ellison, if he actually spent less time litigating about things and more time writing, he would have been an even more important writer, basically. But never mind.
You know, I have to tell you something. You'll pardon me for saying this is the absolute truth. In my mind was to tell you a story about Harlan Ellison.
Mm.
I mean this. This is not, you know, I have shivers.
It's because
up and
we're
down
on the same wavelength,
spine.
Arthur. That's what it's all about. We're on that wavelength.
Listen, I'll ditch a net. You want to get married, you know. Maybe we'll...
No.
Look what I've done.
It's bad enough dealing with the news editor without going any further on this particular aspect.
But it is really true, because Harlan made the New York Times book review this past Sunday, and Harlan is an old dear friend of mine, and I called him to congratulate him. What they were talking about was the fact that a script that he wrote for the original Star Trek program,
City on the Edge of Forever
series. He was rewritten, and as happened all the time, and he's never forgot that.
He certainly hasn't.
As a matter of fact, Angela Lansbury, whom you mentioned as Jessica, was in that episode. Well, he's had his revenge, because that script has been resurrected and put into a three-part TV, three-dimensional game show. I couldn't figure out what the hell it is, but it is selling like hotcakes.
Excellent.
In three parts. And there, Harlan has had his day in court. So there you are. Now, what were you saying about Harlan? If you stand still, he'll sue you. Yes.
Is this true? We just have to, a little correction. I know that Phil Leonis would say Arthur's fantastic, but it was actually Joan Collins, not Angela Lansbury, who was actually in City on the Edge of Forever.
Yeah, Joan Collins. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Okay.
You are right.
Walk with those things, because after all, easily confused how often Angela Lansbury has been mistaken for Joan Collins and vice versa.
Well, they look so much alike.
Well, there you go, exactly. And still thriving in their own way.
Yes, exactly.
I have to say, apart from A Boy and His Dog, the editor of Dangerous Visions, Repent Harlequin, said the TikTok man, I have no mouth and I must scream, which was actually an episode of the Incredible Hulk cartoon series that he actually wrote so far. A very prolific fantasy-based author. Lots of time for him. And indeed, his views about television simply being a cathode ray teat, which was basically sucking the life out of America.
Wow, that's interesting.
Beamed on there. So he had his moments. But again, and of course, the Outer Limits episode, Demon with a Glass Hand, some great Harlan Ellison scenarios put through from that perspective. However, Harlan, as we said, had issues with Gene Roddenberry and other producers within Star Trek, as we say. Did you ever, in your career, find a stage, Arthur, where, as the writer, suddenly the producer decided to say, no, you've got to focus on this, you've got to do this, etc., and you felt, but this is a work of genius? Or did you just say, no, what the hey, I'll just change the script accordingly?
No, I never said this was a work of genius. Somehow I seem to not agree with that kind of thing. But I will tell you this, that my view was, unless I created the show, which was a very rare occasion in my life, I created three series and that was it, unless that I was a writer for hire. I was like a club fighter. Who do I punch? How many rounds? And, I go home at night.
You punch the keyboard.
Unless it was outrageous, unless it was such going to be an embarrassment with my name on it, I did pretty much, with an argument here or there, what they wanted. But when I could not agree and my name was going to be on it, I called the Writers Guild and I said, I want a pseudonym. So, for example, there was a show called Short-Lived, only six episodes, but I wrote the first episode, the pilot episode they hired me for, and they wanted it changed radically. It was about a Lassie-type dog who rescues people and all that. I didn't agree, and I said to the producer, I'm going to call the Guild, and I will change my credit. Oh. And he said, fine, go ahead. So I called the Guild, and I said, the show is Run, Joe, Run. It is about a dog, and I would like to change my title to Virginia Woolf.
Nice. Yeah. See what you did there? Nice. Yeah. Okay.
That was it. And they went up the wall, and they gave in to my saying, because they wouldn't agree that Virginia Woolf would go on the screen.
If the Bloomsbury set were here, Lytton Strachey, Virginia Woolf, etc., I'm sure they'd be saying, actually, what we're really focusing on here is to write Run, Joe, Run.
Yeah. No, in the UK, I wouldn't have had a problem. Not a problem. I mean, they would have loved it. But in America, the correctness police were in in power in those days, especially. Well, so, no. But I did get my way on that one. Yes, yeah. I wanted the dog to bite someone, and they didn't want him to bite anybody.
Yeah, I mean, where would you sit on that one, Emma, in terms of, you know, the hero of Run, Dog, Run, and Arthur wanting somebody to, wanting to bite somebody?
I think, you know, get a bit of action in there. Why not?
Well, yes, he was biting the villain, you see.
Yeah, so it's good. It's heroic.
Well, I mean, after all, I'm sure Lassie sort of didn't go through all the series without sort of engaging in the odd bite, really.
A nibble.
Yes, I will tell you a very quick one in which I did not win. I was writing a GE Electric, a General Electric Theater with Ronald Reagan as the host. And it was a thriller in which a woman is electrocuted in the shower by her husband who wants her out of the way.
Sounds a standard one for General Electric. Sorry.
Yes, so they didn't seem to think that was such a good idea. And this is the truth. I still to this day have the memo written to me. Could she be gassed? Could she be bludgeoned? Could she? This was
anything except electricity. You know, I mean, it's not good for the customers. You don't want them sort of thinking it could be used in either matricide or any kind of homicide whatsoever, really.
I can only think, Arthur, that your memos back and forward discussing this kind of thing must have been very weird out of context to read that.
Well, they were. They were. For example, at the end of a mod squad, I had them, the coda, it was called, before you fade out and go to another commercial, I had them kissing the heroine and the hero. And I said, they kiss long, lingeringly, and deep. And the memo came back, long, yes, deep and penetrating, or pepper, whatever it
out
was.
Out of the question.
No.
Out of the question. No tongues, please. Just don't go there.
Yes, yes. Long, yes, the others, no. So there you are.
Well, that's interesting, you're just referring back
to... Can I tell you a story about Harlan, a quick one?
Yes, please.
This is the truth. He and I were on the faculty of the University of Colorado Writers a summer workshop in the 1970s. And we were trying to think of some kind of fun that we could have on a weekend that we were there when the workshop wasn't going. And so Harlan said, I'll tell you what, let's go to Denver. There's the big department store there owned by the Brown family, in a famous hotel. Why don't you and I have a contest? We'll sit in the windows of the department store had two facing windows opposite the entranceway, and you and I will write a short story, and whoever finishes it first is the winner, but we will, put it up to a crowd and read it out. So I thought, that's the wackiest idea I heard. Yeah. Let's do it. Well, we did. We called the hotel, the department store, and they did it. And they got a crowd of about 500 people, and we set up typewriters, and we both wrote short stories. And then they put microphones in there, and we each read our short stories, and there was a thumbs up, thumbs down, or applause. I forget how they did it and all that. But Harlan beat me soundly. Because what he did was he had a giant pterodactyl from ancient times be unearthed in the hills around Denver, and it carried the department store off in its talons. The crowd seemed to like that. I thought, of course, it was a vote of no confidence for the store, but that didn't count.
That's the way forward, and that's the sort of message. Interesting, Isaac Asimov actually noted that Harlan uses his gifts for colourful and variegated invective on those who irritate him. So he would have intrusive fans, obdurate editors,
yes,
callous publishers,
right,
and offensive strangers. Whereas writer Robert Bloch, of course. Did you ever encounter Robert Bloch, the author of Psycho, amongst others?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, he and I shared... adjoining offices at Paramount. He was a lovely guy.
Well, Robert Locke actually said that whilst most people take, or other people took infinite pains, Harlan gave them.
That's like I just read this morning, and Gore Vidal's a new biography has just come out, and the writer quotes Gore Vidal on Truman Capote's death. He said, a wise career move.
Exactly. It's that kind of message that just makes life just... Jessica, any other thoughts or questions for Arthur Weingarten?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you sound like you... were very creative in pushing boundaries in your writing. I think that's amazing. Sounds like you have a lot of fun.
Oh, we did. We did have a lot of fun in those days. I can't imagine being a writer today for television. Mm. When I look at the crawls, the credits, and I see the number of people involved in an episode, the misery they must go through. It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Each generation.
Become a cab driver, do something else. Oh, yeah.
Each generation has their own wonderments. That's the important thing.
Yes, absolutely.
We're going to be speaking to a couple of writers as well. Ilana Rain, who's also combining writing with her directorial work, and indeed Brian Smith, who's produced things such as the Broadway version of Catch Me If You Can and Kinky Boots.
Kinky Boots is marvelous. Wonderful story.
There we are.
Great story.
Nothing to do.
Production and all that. Yeah.
Nothing to do with Patrick McNeil, the Avengers. Often confused, but never mind. But that means, Emma, would you like to put those last two questions to Arthur Weingarten, please?
Of course. Arthur, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
I certainly have. I have, as always.
Oh, lovely. And will you be joining us again on the programme anytime soon?
With bated breath.